Welcome to Spin Control, a fibercraft podcast from Forever Handmade. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spin Control, episode 166, animated. In this episode, I've got some knitting and spinning. I am all spun up and in a tailspin over the return of one of my favorite television series. And I got a little tale for you about celebrating the boy. But of course, we will kick this all off with some updates. We had a snowstorm this past weekend on the 15th. It came in very quickly and it stayed for quite some time. And at my house, we probably had a good 10 inches. But in true seasonal fashion for this year in Colorado, that snow's already gone. It's been like a day and a half and it's gone. And it's supposed to be in the 70s tomorrow and the 80s the day after that. So totally crazy. And spring, of course, is right around the corner. I've got some exciting news about the workshop that I'm teaching this summer at the Estes Park Wool Market. So when you get picked up for one of these courses, they actually have a minimum number of registrants before the class is like official and doesn't get canceled. And within the first month, I actually got the minimum number of registrations and my class is going to go. So I was like super nervous about that. Like, what if no one wants to take my class? But I got 6 registrations, which means my class is going to happen this June. And I'm super excited about that. I also had a couple of pending proposals for articles out there. And one got picked up and one is still lying in wait, and I don't think the announcement for that's going to happen until April. But the first one, I got picked up to write both an article and design a pattern. So that's pretty cool. And it's in a spinning magazine, so that's pretty awesome. But that also means I have a lot of contracted spinning and writing to do. I'm not upset about it. I did actually get one article complete and all of the stuff submitted for that probably 2 weeks ago now, which is exciting. I was like more than on time, totally made my deadline, which is always nice, right? So I actually have everything laid out in a timeline to make sure nothing is late and everything is on time for what's to come. So what do I have right now? I've got 2 articles approved and contracted and in draft right now, and a 3rd pending. And a call for submissions just came out and I got super duper excited about that one too. The proposal's not due until June, but I think I'm going to get the first part of my proposal submitted here either today or tomorrow. I want to write a feature article on someone special for this publication. So that should be pretty cool. I hope that one gets picked up. It'll be a lot of fun and I'll keep you posted on all of that. And what else? I've just been spinning and hanging out and we're plotting it's the beginning of our next travel season because the weather is going to be amazing for the next few weeks. And we got our camper back. We just had some like seasonal maintenance stuff done and one of our brakes was being hokey. So that is fixed and ready to go. And we just got it back. I need to give it a deep clean and make sure it's packed and ready to go on our next trip, which will probably be in about 2 weeks. And that's pretty exciting. They have recently announced that the Fiber Festival that used to be held in Taos, New Mexico every year, which got moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Let me find it. We used to call it shorthand the Taos Wool Festival because it was hosted there for many years. It is actually the Mountain and Valley Fiber Arts Festival. It was established in 1983. As the Taos Wool Festival, but now it is now called the Mountain and Valley Wool Festival. It was held, like I said, in Santa Fe, but now it is going to be held October 3rd and 4th in Durango, Colorado. And we're planning to go. I believe the boy and I are going to go together and we're going to camp. So that'll be a nice little October camping trip headed south where the weather should be warmer at that time of year. But yeah, I'm super excited about that. He's like, sure, let's go, which is kind of nice. He isn't in it for the fiber arts of it all, but he is definitely in it for the outdoor recreation he gets to participate in while we are at these events. For example, he's been going to the Estes Park Wool Market with me for probably the last 4 years, and we camp in the Rocky Mountain National Park during that time. So that's lots of hiking and mountain biking and just really great time outside. And yeah, so pretty stoked about that. Should be pretty exciting. And I'm glad we get to add another festival to our list. And of course, we camp at Salida as well. Outdoor activities. He loves the river out there, so that's a lot of fun too. But yeah, we are starting to fill our dance card with lots of camping and travel trips in the months to come. And I am happy to announce that right now I am making plans for my annual trip to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival in May. Actually, this year my travel is going to be April 30th because it is really like the first week of May. I think it's not usually that early just because the dates don't fall that way. But yeah, so I'll be traveling out there 30th if I can remember to actually book my flights. That'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, the season is upon us to start all of our travels for all the festival seasons and all of the wonderful summer adventures that we have ahead. Well, it looks like that's just about all I've got going on in updates. So I guess it's time to get this podcast started. In this edition of Spin a Tale, I am going to give you the lowdown on how we spent the entire last weekend celebrating the boy. Well, his birthday was Sunday, March 15th, and he didn't want to party, which is unfortunate because it was a milestone birthday. He turned 50 this summer. He turned 50 this year, but he didn't want to party. And things didn't work out for us to like go on a big trip or anything like that. So I had to find a creative way to celebrate the boy for his big milestone birthday. And I think I succeeded. He seemed very happy. A lot of people came out to celebrate with us. And we just really had a perfect weekend. And that's really what I called it. Like I had a shared note with me and the girls, and I called it Dad's Perfect Weekend. And he had a doctor's appointment on Friday morning. And as soon as that was done, I pretty much took over his entire schedule Friday through Sunday. I told him when he could eat, when he could sleep, when he had some downtime, when he could go to the gym. And I just planned lots of things that I knew he would really love to do. He got a fancy schmancy haircut. He's been a haircut, big deal, right? But it was like a lot of little things that culminated into a perfect weekend. He's been trying to grow his hair out and it's been driving him a little bit crazy. So I took him to get like a nice professional haircut to help him clean it up, get it styled a little bit so it'll grow out more easily for him. And that was great. Then after that, we had a pop-up party for him. I planned three pop-up parties for him throughout the weekend. Pretty much, I announced to all the people that we knew opportunities for them to surprise him and show up at these lunches and celebrate him. So we did one on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at three different locations. I kind of blended that into the other activities we had planned. Like Saturday morning, he got a nice massage. We stopped at a taco shop for lunch, and like 20 people he knew showed up. We were there for like 2 hours, and then we went on to the rest of our weekend. And I did that three times. It was pretty cool. We had a lot of participation, and he really wasn't expecting it. He had a great weekend, and I'm really surprised. Like the whole pop-up party thing worked out really, really well. I was super surprised that I had so many people participate, and he was so totally surprised and taken aback by the whole thing. And I just thought it was a really great idea because there were three opportunities for people to make it work with their schedule. And that was kind of awesome that we were able to do that and people didn't have to miss out because they already had other things going. So yeah, that's how I celebrated the boy. He turned 50 and I spent the entire weekend pretty much spoiling him rotten and surprising him along the way. And now it is on to spinning my wheels. In terms of knitting, I am kind of keeping up on my self-imposed sock club adventures. I did finish my February socks, and those were the simple Skype socks that I was knitting out of the Socks That Rock in the colorway Blackbird, and those worked out perfectly. And they are done. Toes are grafted. Super simple, they match and they're super cozy too. The only thing is, I need to wash them before I wear them because they are definitely, definitely 100% going to bleed all over everything. And I'd prefer that my feet not change colors while I wear them the first time. I typically don't block my socks unless I'm giving them as a gift to someone. Well, someone outside my immediate family. I don't block socks for my kids or my spouse. They just get them and they put them on and they have socks. I don't block my own socks either. I put them on and that's how I finish them. Leave in the ends and put them on my feet and that's it. But I'm going to block those only, well, I'm going to hand wash them in a sink. I'm not really going to block them. I just need to wash them at least once so that they don't completely stain my feet, which would be totally weird because it's a super dark color of yarn. And my self-imposed sock club March socks are underway. I am a little bit behind on those, probably because of planning and executing everything I did for the boy for his birthday. But that's okay, I can totally fix that. So I am knitting kind of a plain pair of socks from her Corialis architecture in chapter 4 of the New Pathways book. I'm reusing the Claudia's hand painted from the January socks because I 100% ripped those out and I'm reusing the yarn because I have no objections to the yarn at all. And yes, so I'm doing two at a time on my DPNs this go round, and both are started, but I'm a little bit behind. I still have 2 weeks left of this month, so I can definitely finish them. But because they're plain socks, I think I'm literally just going to get as far as I can and then bind off because they're toe up, which will make that a lot easier. I think on the 31st of the month, wherever I am on those socks, I'm going to bind them off and they're going to be done. The legs might be a little short compared to what I normally do, but that's going to be okay. I don't mind that at all, but I'll stay on track and be on time. I've yet to pick my April socks. But I'm sure that's coming soon. But yeah, so those are on track and they're coming along, and I'm reclaim that yarn that I was using in January, and the March socks are underway, and I'm making adequate progress. I've been doing a little bit of other knitting, Plain Jane Glory. I'm on Sleeve Island right now, but thankfully it's like a heavy yarn, so it shouldn't take me very long at all to get that done. Super excited. There's knit group this weekend, so hopefully Plain Jane Glory is finished and I can take it to knit group with me. If the weather's going to be as warm as it's supposed to be, I probably won't wear it to knit group. I'll sweat my butt off because it's like 100% wool, so I'm not going to do that. And I am swatching for the Plain Jane cardigan. Yeah, so the next sweater is the Plain Jane cardigan. I've got the Plain Jane Glory, the pullover. And I'm going to do a cardigan next. Very, very similar. Just I wanted to get that first cardigan under my belt. And so I'm working with a professional to learn how to size. I told you that I'm taking a class. And the Plain Jane cardi is going to be the pattern that I'm sizing as I work my way through the course. So that's pretty cool. And I'm using the same yarn, different color. I'm using the Blue Sky Fibers Woolstock Tweed, which is really nice. I actually thoroughly am enjoying knitting with that yarn, and it's so nice. And it's soft, and it's chunky, and it's tweedy. And yeah, that's really nice. The current version of Plain Jane Glory is in the colorway Sage Rose, I think is what it's called. And the original version of Plain Jane Glory was in the same Woolstock Tweed, but the colorway for that was Prairie Sky. It's like a grayish blue. Pretty beautiful. Enjoying that. So the first version of Plain Jane Glory was knit in the other colorway. I've got photos of it, but it's way the wrong size. So as soon as I finish the current sample, the real sample of Plain Jane Glory, I am going to rip out the first version and use that yarn for the cardigan. Because I have a lot of that yarn. And I just prefer that it not go unworn. You know what I mean? It's a really nice yarn. Not cheap either. But I just don't want it to go to waste and just sit there on a shelf. So I'm going to recapitalize on that and use it in Plain Jane Cardigan. Have you all been seeing that motorized I-cord maker that is like everybody and their mom is trying to sell you on Instagram right now? It's an electronic I-cord maker by Kadu, and it's like $150. And I just keep seeing so many versions of it all over the internet. And I have exactly zero interest in paying $150 for an electronic I-cord maker. But the boy happened to see it on Instagram. I have totally taken over his algorithm, by the way. He shares things with me and he gets videos that are definitely for me all the time on his Instagram. It's hilarious. But he saw it the other day and he's like, could you knit with that I-cord once you make it? And I'm like, absolutely, you totally could just make I-cord yarn and knit out of it. So what I've actually decided to do, I'm not buying that machine, by the way, not at all. But you can make I-cord on a circular sock machine. So I'm taking all my scraps from all my sock yarn, which I have a lot of, and I am turning it into I-cord. And like, I don't have a dedicated machine to just sit there and have this I-cord on it. So I cast on the I-cord. I probably have 5 yards of I-cord yarn. It's like a super bulky. I'm using a 4-stitch I-cord. And when I want to use my sock machine for other things, I just take the I-cord off of the sock machine, use a safety pin to keep the stitches from unraveling, and set it aside. And then when I want to add more length to it, put it back on the circular sock machine, take the safety pin out, and I can add to it. So I'm just going to keep doing that probably for the rest of the year and see where I end up and how much yarn I've got, because I have a lot of sock scraps. I mean, what? I probably knit my first pair of socks like my second year of knitting. So yeah, that's like 19, almost 20 years of scrap sock yarn. I'm definitely in a place in my life where I need to start using these things I've been setting aside for later. It's later. It's time to use them now. So yeah, I've been working on those things in knitting, which is pretty cool. I am also making my way through that parallel drafting spin. I'm not super, well, no, I'm halfway done. That's actually what I'm spinning on right now as I record. I'm drafting those two different colors together, making a marled single. I'm finishing a bobbin right now of singles, but I actually plied the first bobbin and it's actually turning out really nice. I am so glad I decided to take this project on, because I definitely turned at least that one bat that I would have never used for anything else into yarn that is lovely. And it probably would have just languished in my stash for another however many years had I not decided to take this on. That's pretty exciting and pretty cool. So the bat that I'm spinning for half of this, the red, ugly, red-brown bat, was only 3 ounces. And the braid was 4 ounces. So I divided it evenly and set aside an ounce of the Falkland. I think that was from Alpaca and Ewe. But I set aside an ounce of that. And what I'm going to do with that as soon as I'm finished with this is I'm going to sample for another kind of spin. I've been reading more about spinning for color. And what I came across, I heard someone talking about this, is spinning three plies two ways. In issue number 23, Winter 2028 of Plied Magazine, let me find it, Joanne Moskal wrote an article called Three Plies Two Ways. And then in issue 48, spring of 2025, the Hue issue, Laura Linneman revisited the topic and updated the article, Three Plies Two Ways, and designed a sock pattern to go along with it. And essentially, you divide the braid in half, spin one half, like lengthwise, spin one half as a chain ply, and then you spin the other half as three singles and ply it together traditionally. There's other ways to do the second three ply, and I'm looking into that too, like having one of the singles spun S-twist, the other two spun with Z-twist, and then plying those together, and you get a really energized, apparently light and fluffy kind of springy yarn. So I'm going to experiment with that 1 ounce and try a couple different ways of doing that. So that should be fun too. And then I have lots and lots of alpaca spinning to spin. Not because I just have a lot to spin, which I do, we know that. But one of the articles that I got picked up for, I have to spin alpaca yarn for the pattern I'm designing. That pattern is only going to require about 400 yards, and I haven't decided if I'm going to do a two ply or a three ply, but I still, it's, you know, that's probably 4 ounces, or if not a little bit more, depending on the weight that I decide to spin. So I've got to get moving on that before I'm late. I have plenty of time, but I need to get that started this week so that I'm not behind. And I'm not sure if you follow me on YouTube at all, but if you do, or if you don't, my first video in the series on spinning my way through the Spinner's Book of Yarn Design is done. It's just an introductory video. Don't spin anything fancy, but I do spin my default yarn and talk about what a default yarn is and how I spin my default. But yeah, it's a short video, but it's up, and the second one is in editing, and I'm excited about the progress I'm making on that. As you can tell, I've got a ton of stuff going on, and I will keep you posted on all of it as I progress. In this episode, I am both all spun up about and in a tailspin about the return of a television franchise that I adore, Firefly. The Firefly series is returning in a different format, which I'm not sure how I feel about it. But it's coming back with many of the same actors, which is pretty awesome. However, they're going to do an animated series. I don't know how I feel about that, but the fact that everybody is still involved and that it's happening is pretty exciting. So right now, they are, well, I think Nathan is pretty much spearheading this activity. But he is looking for a home for the new Firefly. They've got producers, they have a script, they've got voice actors, they have an animation studio, but they don't have a home. So I don't think they have a network that has funded it yet. And that is like the last hurdle that they have to cross to make Firefly come back to life. And I'm pretty excited about that. I discovered Firefly, I believe, during my second deployment. It was probably, what was that, 2007? Someone loaned me, this was not as busy of an appointment as the first one, but I actually had a little time to watch some television during my second deployment, and someone loaned me the Serenity movie, and that, of course, is what sparked my love for Firefly as a franchise. And so what I'm doing right now is I'm in a tailspin because I am going to go back and, of course, watch the whole series and the movie in preparation for the return of Firefly. Which, of course, means that I need to knit the Jane hat because I never did knit the Jane hat back in the day when the Jane hat was super popular. So I'm going to pick a pattern, find the yarn, and knit the Jane hat and have it ready to wear when the new season comes. It's a hand knit hat. And in the storyline for Firefly, Jane's mom knits him a hat and sends it to him. And it's a hilarious hat, but it's adorable. And it's probably going to be a pretty quick knit, but I'm pretty excited about finally having a resurgence to spark my interest in knitting that hat again. So yeah, I'm going to knit that hat. Don't know when, but soon. I'm going to knit that hat. And I'm going to finish rewatching Firefly the series and Serenity. I am about halfway through the first season. There's another season after that. And then in the timeline, Serenity the movie is kind of the culmination and the end of what was the series. So yeah, I'm doing that. Knitting on plain Jane Glory and watching Firefly. It's pretty exciting. I'm pretty stoked. And I can't wait for the new series to come out. Well, it looks like it is time to spin off this episode of Spin Control. I don't have any like major plans for the future or events coming up here in the next few weeks, but I definitely have a lot of knitting and spinning to get done, and I'll keep you posted on that. The one thing I do have going that's kind of in the back of my mind is I need to offload my winter stock of all of my Etsy tools and get some spring colors in there and new tools available for sale. I also have some new sticker designs that I need to premiere. So those will be coming out here in the weeks to come as well. But it is time to get rid of my dreary fall and winter colors that I've got in the shop and add some spring brightness to the mix. And I'll keep you posted on how all of that goes. As always, you can get the details about this episode and all the past episodes at spincontrolpodcast.com. You can email me at shiloh@foreverhandmade.com. Catch me on Ravelry and Instagram as Forever Handmade. Thanks again, guys. I'll talk to you soon.